First Kings chapter 18, verse 37. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know, everyone say no, that they may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. They had backslidden. There'd been rebellion and idolatry. They had turned their heart away from God, and the prophet is praying, let their heart be turned back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, remember the prayer was that they may know God. They said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. They got a revelation of the true God. They got a revelation of the true God. In fact, Elijah said, let the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And so when the fire fell and consumed the sacrifice, revelation came. Everyone say revelation. And Elijah said, verse 41, unto Ahab, get up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of an abundance of rain. You see, because of the rebellion that they had been turning away from God, God sent a drought for 3.5 years. There was a drought, but now the rain is coming. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to the servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, well, go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heavens were black with clouds and wind, and there was great rain. Everyone say rain. I want to speak today. It's kind of a bit of a statement, this title. But to truly know is to experience. To truly know is to experience. It's not just head knowledge. It's not just theological knowledge. It's not a bunch of facts. But if you want to truly know, then that only comes through experience. Lord God, we love you. We thank you for your word today. Lord, we pray you would speak to us through your word. Lord, let our ears be open, Lord God, to hear what you want to say to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone say amen. You may be seated. To truly know is to experience. When I was thinking about this title today, I couldn't help but think about university graduates. For many years, I worked in the public service as an executive there, and was often recruiting people. And you would get people that have the most amazing degrees, you know, 2 or 3 degrees, masters, PhDs, all of these things. And I quickly learned that they looked very good on paper, and they had a lot of knowledge. But I learned as promising as it sounded, you know, I'm about to employ somebody that's going to make everyone's life a lot easier. Look at all the degrees they've got. Look at the universities they've been to. Look at all the things that they know. I was excited, but very quickly I realized as we put them on the floor and got them working that as much as they had a lot of knowledge, they had no experience. Anyone know what I'm talking about? You know, you get an apprentice. The good thing about being an apprentice is that the system we use in Australia is the master apprentice. In other words, you learn by doing. And so apprentices, and Brother Matt's an electrician, he finished his apprenticeship a few years ago. By the time he finished his apprenticeship, he knew what he was doing, because the apprenticeship was all about learning and doing. But you know, see, a lot of university graduates, they think because they've got a lot of degrees and a lot of letters behind their names that somehow that they know what they're doing, but they don't. It comes by experience. To know, to truly know, is to have experience. Now, there's a question I'm often asked. What is the difference between a Pentecostal Christian and other Christians? What is the difference? You see, Pentecostal, we need to remind people that Pentecostal is not so much a name. Although they have made it a denomination, Pentecostal, Pentecostal was never meant to be a name. But when we say we are Pentecostal, we're saying that we have the Pentecostal experience. We say that we go back and we've had the same experience that they had in the book of Acts. I was reading a BBC article, which was somewhat the inspiration for this message. It said this: Pentecostalism is a form of Christianity that emphasizes the work of the Holy Spirit and the direct experience of the presence of God by the believer. It was funny that the BBC said that. They said Pentecostals are people who don't just know, but they believe that you can have an experience with God. You can have an experience with God. I want to tell you today, to truly know is to experience. And there was never meant to be Christians that don't experience the move of God in their life. And sadly now we have Christianity divided up into Pentecostal and non-Pentecostal. How can it even be so? Because every single believer can have an experience with God. We can go beyond head knowledge. We can go beyond rituals and process. And I'm glad there are so many testimonies here today. Yes, you went to church one day. You went through the processes. You went through the rituals. And you knew a lot of things about God. But there are people here today who can say, but now I have an experience with God. Hallelujah. Clap your hands to the Lord. The other thing about Pentecostals, and it should be with all Christians, is that we have a different approach to reading the Bible. A different approach. You see, we believe that we don't have to stop at just knowledge. When you read, you get knowledge. But we believe that when we read the Bible, that when we read something and learn something, that we can then experience the same thing. So when we read about blind Bartimaeus being healed of his blindness, we read that and say, Jesus can do that. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then I want to truly know, I want to experience it. When we see sick people healed, we read it and we get knowledge. Yes, God is a healer. But then we go one step further and say, I want to experience that in my life. And on this first Sunday in 2021, I want to encourage the church. Don't just read the Bible, but when you read something, let there be a hunger in your heart that says, I just don't want to get head knowledge. I want to experience this God of the Bible. So we have a different approach to reading the Bible. We call ourselves Pentecostals because we go back to the first experience on the day of Pentecost. We are filled with the Spirit. You see, Pentecost was heaven's inauguration ceremony for the church. There was a rushing wind. There was flames of fire. And everyone, every single of one of them in the upper room, the 120, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. They had an experience with God. There was a visible enduring of power on their lives. And so then Peter preached later that day. 3,000 people were converted. I want to tell you today that to truly know is to experience God. And I'm not downplaying a knowledge of the Word of God. The Bible says we've got to know the Word. We've got to read the Word and get it in our heart. But you don't have to stop at just getting head knowledge. But you can have an experience with God today. To truly know is to experience. Now, the Bible says that the promise of the Holy Spirit is for everyone. Every believer, for the promise is unto you. I think we know the scripture. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And so, whether you call yourself a Pentecostal or not, the Pentecostal experience, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the experience of God inside of us, being filled with the Spirit is for every single believer. It's for every single believer. It knows no boundaries of any denomination. The infilling of the Holy Spirit is for everybody. Now, There was a case in the Bible where there were some believers who didn't have the Holy Spirit. They were believers, but they weren't filled with the Holy Spirit yet. Now I tell you, the Holy Spirit is for everybody. And if you're a believer here today and you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit and had that experience, I want to tell you, there's nothing like being filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? It gives us power to live. And so there were some believers who hadn't been filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 19, verse 1, it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, he came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, they were followers of Jesus. They were disciples. We would call them Christians. And he said to them, here we go. The first thing that Paul says to them, these believers, these disciples, he says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And when I read this, I always like to imagine in my mind a group of people meeting in the house, studying, praying, doing all the things that Christians do. And Paul comes in and he says, hi, everyone. Great to see you all, believers, brothers and sisters, but I got something important. I got an important question. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? So they were believers, but they hadn't yet experienced the infilling of the Holy Spirit. They said, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Paul is telling them, you see, to truly know is to experience. And so what happened? He said unto them, well, then how were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after them. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. And then Paul laid his hands on them. And what happened? They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were believers. They had knowledge. They were disciples. They had Christian disciplines. But to truly know is to experience. And Paul says, I want you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And so don't just read about it. When you read the Bible in 2021, look at your Bible and say, I want to experience that. I want to see that in my life. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His promises are true for then, and his promises are true for now. I believe it. And so we need to be filled with the Spirit, church. Every Christian needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, a non-Pentecostal, a Christian without the Holy Spirit, is like trying to imagine the city of Canberra without electricity. What happens when the electricity goes out at home? Everyone starts running around. What's going on? Even if it's out for a minute, what happened? Where's the power? The kids come out of their rooms because their computers have died, you know. What's going on? It's like my oxygen's being turned off, you know. How am I going to charge my phone? What are we going to do? There's no power. There's no power. And to not be filled with the Holy Spirit is like imagining the city of Canberra with no electricity. Can you imagine what that would be like? Everyone says, we've got to find the power. We've got to turn the power on. Somebody find the switch. Somebody call ACTU and ask them, what's going on with the power? And the same is with us. The power of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to Christianity like the power is to a modern city. We can't live without it. And in these last days, I want to tell you, church, more so than ever before, we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to be able to last to the end. He that endured to the end, the same shall be saved. The Bible says in Luke 11, Jesus tells us, he tells us of the depth of his longing for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is Jesus speaking. He's telling us, this is my desire. This is how much I desire to give you the Holy Spirit. And he says this in Luke 11, verse 9. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And so when you find the door, when you've got the knowledge, then knock and ask, and it's going to be opened. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Now here it is. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you ask your earthly father to give you one of those things, he will not. You won't ask for an egg, he won't give you a scorpion. If you then, he says, you earthly father, and when it comes to how good God is, we are evil compared to that. If you then being evil, as evil as we are, if we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more, everyone say much more, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? That is an expression of God's desire that we would all be filled with the Holy Spirit. He says, how much more will I give you the Holy Spirit when you ask? And I want to tell you today, there is more for you. If you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, there is more for you. To truly know is to experience. You know, never in history has there been so much theological knowledge around. It's available to everybody, the World Wide Web, the internet. But we must go beyond revelation. Go beyond knowledge, and we must seek an experience with God. To truly know is to experience. And so when we read the Bible, when God is healing, we say, I want to experience that. When God is delivering, I want to experience that. And here we go back to our text, and you're wondering when I would get back to the text. Israel and the rest of the Middle East, a dry area, they depend on the rain. And because Israel had disobeyed God, God had shut up the heavens. There'd been no rain. Everything began to die. And under the reign of King Ahab and his wife Jezebel, Israel had backslidden. They had fallen into rebellion, idolatry, unrighteousness. And because of that, the judgment of God had come upon their land. At the word of the Lord, when God spoke, there was no rain and there was not even any dew. That's scary. You know, we've been through droughts, but you wake up in the morning and the grass is still wet because there's dew. There's still some moisture around. But this was a drought sent by God. There wasn't any rain and there wasn't any dew. They needed a breakthrough. We sang about that. They needed a breakthrough. They needed rain. And Elijah said, go show yourself unto Ahab and I will send rain upon the earth. And so God spoke. Elijah heard and Elijah listened. Everyone say he listened. I could stop and preach on that a little while because when God speaks, we need to listen and we need to obey. A lot of Christians suffer with this problem. We have a high level knowledge and a low level obedience. Yeah? You know what I'm talking about? High level knowledge and low level obedience. Even in society, we have a high level knowledge and low level obedience. Everybody knows that McDonald's not good for you. How many people had McDonald's? Don't raise your hand. How many people know that if you eat too much, you're going to get unhealthy? Yeah? Yeah, especially all the fatty food we eat at Christmas time. Well, we know that, but our level of obedience is low. In fact, sometimes I think that we think we're going to be an exception to the rule. Everyone else, but not me. But when it comes to the Word of God, let us not be people that have high-level knowledge and low-level obedience. Don't underestimate the power of being obedient to God's word. And so Elijah came unto all the people in verse 21 of 1 Kings 18. He said, how long shall you halt between two opinions? You're sitting on the fence. If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal be God, then follow him. If you want to live for the world, then live for the world. If you want to live for God, then live for God. And the people answered him not a word. And so what was the problem? They were trying to serve two masters. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Matthew 6 tells us, you cannot serve God and mammon. And then it sums up and says, no man can serve two masters. Corinthians 6 verse 2 Corinthians 6 verse 17 says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. And the reason why Israel was experiencing a spiritual drought is because they were sitting on the fence. Elijah said it like this. He says, how long will you halt between two opinions? It's time to renovate our hearts, church. Time to renovate our hearts. How long shall we halt between two opinions? So now there's a showdown of who the true God is. There is one man of God, Elijah, against 850 false prophets. Elijah challenges the false prophets. He challenges them. He says, let the God that answers by fire, let him be God. He sets out the ground rules. He says, the God that answers by fire, that is the true God. And so then what do? They go and make a fire. They get some sticks and things like that. And Elijah said, no, don't put any fire under it. Don't you do that. That's God's part. Our part is to kill the bullock, going to gather the stones. We're going to lay the sacrifice out. Our part is to pray and to call on God, and God will provide the fire. And so they had to do something. Faith requires a step. Faith requires a stretch. And when I say a stretch, you know what Elijah then does? He then goes and gets some water and he pours it all over it. They're like, oh, you're making it harder for your God? Our God doesn't need fire starters. Our God can work in a disadvantaged situation. He just begins to throw heaps of water on it. Everyone's thinking, whoa, what's he doing? I want to make this as hard as I can, Elijah says, because my God doesn't need any help. He can work in a disadvantaged situation. I want to tell somebody today that God can work in a disadvantaged situation. You just be obedient. You do what God has called you to do. He will bring the fire. So we say, oh, I can't do this. It's beyond me. I can't do this. Anyone ever felt like you can't do it? Anyone ever felt like you fall short? Anyone here? Yeah, maybe there's a few people. Well, I know it's me. Sometimes we feel like it's beyond us. I want to tell you that that feeling that we can't do it and that feeling that it is beyond us, it's not a weakness. It's not an intellect. It's not your personality. It's not a lack of money. But I believe that feeling drops into our heart by divine design. That God puts that feeling in us. Because sometimes we can become proudful, full of pride, and begin to think we can do it on our own. And then suddenly we feel like things just aren't working out. And we say, I can't do this. It's beyond me. But I want to tell you that when you have that feeling, it is there by divine design. God says, I will let you go so far. I will let you go so far. And after you've got everything that you've got, and after you've done everything you can do, you still won't be able to reach it. Because you know what? If we could do it all on our own, we wouldn't need God. And so that feeling is there by divine design. God says, I will let you go so far. You cannot reach it. You cannot touch it. The only way you can get there if God helps you. And so sometimes even situations in our life can become so difficult. And I want to tell you, it's not the devil. Sometimes it's God who is saying, you're just trying to be doing everything on your own all the time. This one you can't. You're going to have to pray. And so God answered by fire. Revelation came. The fire fell and consumed the offering. Revelation came. Knowledge came. Yeah? They got a revelation. Elijah said, let the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And so revelation comes. Knowledge comes. They get a revelation of who God is. Now they know. Now they know. But is the fire going to help the drought? Was the fire going to help the drought? Was just knowing who God is going to heal the land of the drought that they're experiencing? What was it that they needed? They needed the rain. And so they've got a revelation. They've got knowledge. They've got head knowledge. They know who God is. But all the knowledge in the world isn't going to stop the drought in the land. They needed rain. I want to tell you today, to truly know is to experience. All the theology in the world, all of the knowledge in the world, all of the degrees in the world, all of the sermons in the world, all of the days that you've attended church, to truly know is to experience God for yourself, for God to touch your life, for God to fill you with the Holy Spirit, to feel the reign of the Holy Spirit on your life and bring the dead to life. To truly know is to experience. And so I preaching to a church today, I pray you'll not be satisfied just to know about God, but that you'll want to experience God for yourself. We need an experience, not just knowledge. The fire brought revelation, but the rain stopped the drought. It was that experience. To truly know is to experience. 1 Kings 18:41, and it came to pass, so he went to look for the rain. Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up. He said unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass. This is it. It came to pass. They had to go looking for it, didn't they? They had to go looking for it. They had to take a step. They had to take a step beyond being satisfied with a revelation of who God is. Because a revelation of who God is, that's great to know. It's great to know things about the Word of God, and great to know His works and His ways. It's good to have all that knowledge. But now they had to go and have an experience. And so they went. He went, the servant went. He said, I see a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black and the clouds and the wind, and there was great rain. He went seven times. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, don't give up. You can experience God like you've never experienced Him before. He went seven times. He went until the rain came, until the cloud burst, until there was a revival in the desert. I want to tell the church today, don't be happy with just knowledge, but you can experience God for yourself. To truly know is to experience. And so many of us are on the first rung of the ladder, knowledge. But God is calling us higher. In 2021, God is calling us higher. Yes, there needs to be some renovations. We've got to make room for God. We've got to make some changes on the first rung of the ladder. But God is saying, come on, I want to be in relationship with you. I want there to be intimacy between. I don't want to just show you who I am, but I want to show you my ways. I want to show you why I do what I do. I want to empower you. And there was a bunch of believers in Acts 19. They were believers, but they hadn't had the experience. And Paul realized that. He says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? You see, knowledge doesn't give you a testimony. There's nothing worse than somebody who's got a head full of knowledge, but they got no testimony. In fact, they often come across as Bible bashers. Add to your faith virtue, which is love, and add to your virtue, knowledge. We've got to have that experience with God. And so, having a knowledge doesn't give you a testimony. But when you have an experience with God, it gives you a testimony. It keeps you in the house of God. And some of us have been through terrible times in our life, in our Christian walk. There have been even times when we felt like giving up. But you know what? We look back and we think of the experience that we had with God. We think of the time that He filled us with the Holy Spirit. We think of the time when He healed our body. We think of the time when we cried out to Him in that dark situation and God was there. We think of the time as we raised our hands and we were so dry and the rain of the Holy Spirit just began to water our heart. You see, an experience will give you a testimony. And I want to tell the parents here today, all the knowledge in the world isn't going to make your children live for God. But if you can tell them what Jesus did for you, if you can tell them how He saved you, if you can tell them the experience that you had, you see, to truly know is to experience Him. And that's what Pentecost is about. We read the Bible, we get knowledge, but we go further. We say, I want to experience God. And there when Elijah was having that showdown, revelation came, knowledge came about who God was. But they needed to experience the rain. The rain represents the Holy Spirit. You see, a lot of people walk away from God. They go back to the world, not because they backslid, but because they never slid forward. They were happy just to have some knowledge. I want to tell you today, God wants to give you an experience with Him. He wants to touch your life. He wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Paul said this, that I may know, Philippians 3 verse 10. You go, oh, pastor, there you go. Knowledge. Paul just wanted to know God. No, that word know is the Greek word gnosko, which is an intimate knowledge. Everyone say intimate. Gnosko. It's not to know about, but to know in an intimate way. It is the same word that is used when Adam knew Eve, and it's talking about an intimate relationship that bears children. It's the same word. Paul says that I may know Him, that I just not know about Him, but that intimate relationship, walking day by day, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings and being made conformable unto His death. Daniel said, but the people that do know their God, my mom's favorite scripture, the people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. It's not talking about head knowledge. It's not talking to people that have been a theological college or Bible college and they can recite all these words and all these scriptures that they're going to do, be strong and do exploits. No. Those that have an intimate relationship with God. You see, to truly know is to experience Him. And I believe with all my heart today that we need to pursue a deeper and more intimate relationship with God. To not be happy with head knowledge, but to experience Him in every part of our life. If the musicians could come. There was a showdown. Fire fell from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. Revelation came. Everyone say revelation. But they weren't happy just with revelation. They went because they needed the rain. Now, pastor, I already know God. I already know God. Hey, if you've just written off this message thinking that you already know God, let me tell you, I'd ask you a question. If you think you know God, and I want to ask you, on what level do you know Him? You see, God only reveals, read your Bible, God only reveals Himself in degrees. In fact, God has never fully revealed Himself to anyone. You see, the Christian walk is a walk of knowing God more and more. One day at a time, knowing Jesus more and more. When you read your Bible, you get a glimpse of God. When I read my Bible, I read that when they saw God, they fell on their face. I want to tell you, the journey's not over. And for you to say, oh, this message doesn't apply to me, well, you're full of pride. Because God hasn't fully revealed Himself to anybody. There is more that you can have of God. We haven't seen all that God wants to show us. In fact, even in heaven, I'm going to go out on a limb and say this. Even in heaven, we won't know the fullness of God. I believe heaven will be the continual revelation of the greatness of God. It's not like we're going to get to heaven and go, wow, that's amazing. No, every day there's going to be another wow and another wow and another wow. Heaven will be the continual unfolding of the revelation of the greatness of God, and to experience God in a new and deeper way, it will be the continual revelation of the greatness of God. And so there's no way we can say, I've arrived. We've had good services, but they're just glimpses. I ask you, how much do you know Him? If you have never been filled with the Holy Spirit, I want to tell you, God wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit. You say, well, pastor, what do I do to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, first of all, you got to want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, seek, knock, and it shall be opened. Ask. You have to believe that you can receive the Holy Spirit. A lot of people don't receive the Holy Spirit because they don't think they're worthy. God, I'm a filthy vessel. Why would you? You know, I'm just a human being. Why would you want to fill me with your Spirit? When I was 10 years old in 1987, I stood on an altar back there. I wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I lifted my hands and I began to worship God from the bottom of my heart. Before I knew it, I began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Today is Lachlan's anniversary. He was filled with the Holy Spirit 7 years ago at a conference in Melbourne. We praise God for that. There's nothing better than to have our children full of the Holy Spirit. You see, when the Spirit of God comes, the Bible says that you will speak in other tongues, just like they did in the book of Acts. You see, to truly know is to experience. Let's stand in this place today. I pray that there's a hunger in your heart, that you'll not be satisfied just with head knowledge, not be satisfied with being able to quote a few scriptures, that you will say, to truly know, I want to know God. To truly know is to experience Him, to experience Him. Let's lift our hands all across this place. Right now, from the front to the back in the balcony, let us lift our hands. God wants to reveal Himself to us in a mighty and a powerful way. Will you let Him touch your life today? Will you surrender to Him and say, Lord Jesus, I'm not satisfied. I want to go further, Lord God. I want to know You more. I want to know You more, oh God. I want to experience You, Lord God. I want to be filled with Your Holy Spirit. Come on, cry out to God right now. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We love You, Jesus. We love You, Jesus. We love You, Jesus. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're hungry for more of You, oh God. Nobody like You, Jesus. Hallelujah. To truly know is to experience. I want to tell you, there's more. There's more of God for you today. Come on, take that step. Take that step right now. Surrender to God and say, God, whatever You want to do, I want to experience You. I want to know You more. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, lift your voice. Come on, cry out to God. Oh, Jesus, we need You. We want You. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord, every single one of us. God is speaking to us today not to be satisfied with where we are right now, but to truly know is to experience. Yes, you've seen the fire fall and you got a revelation of who God is. You've seen His power. But I want to tell you, there's rain coming. Go again, church, go again until the cloud bursts, until there's rain in the desert, until your parched heart is restored and refreshed. Oh Lord, we love You, Jesus. Hallelujah, come on, worship. Oh Lord,